Please be seated, and we welcome Megan with us this morning as she shares again about the work of ABM. Thank you.
Good morning. It is indeed lovely to be back among you this morning. I was trying to think, I think this might be my fourth visit to you over the last 6 or 7 years. So next year you'll have the joy of Peter Burke visiting you, just in case you're starting to get a little bit tired of me and my voice and my face. Now the clicker. Green light. We're all good. So I will be talking to you today again about being partners in God's mission. But what is God's mission? Well, God's mission is a 7.5-year-old doing a puzzle all by herself. I actually need to update this photo. She's now doing 100-piece puzzles by herself. And the other day she attempted a 300-piece puzzle by herself, which is a long way from where we first started when she was about two. This was one we did during COVID lockdown. It's one we made ourselves, if you can't guess, thanks to a blank puzzle template that our local library gave us. So she's come a long way with puzzles. But what have puzzles and excited seven and a half year olds and a mother who loves doing puzzles got to do with God's mission? Well, how many of you like doing jigsaw puzzles? I have a feeling I've got a fairly receptive audience here. Yep, the rest of you, confession is available afterwards. But when doing a puzzle, what's the most important piece?
The corners.
The corners. We have a corners person. I'm a corners and edges person. My daughter likes to start with the most obvious colour, pattern, shape. So she'll take all the red pieces or all the stripy pieces. Who's one of those people you'd like to sort of start with? Yeah. Well, initially it caused a lot of tension because I was like, corners and edges, Victoria, we've got to find all the corners and edges. And she'd be going, but Mum, here are all the red pieces. Eventually we realised that actually together, working in our different ways, we got the puzzle done quicker, because as she was looking for all her red pieces, she'd find an edge and give it to me. When I was looking for my edges and corners, I'd find a red piece and give it to her. And then we were actually able to do the puzzle. But still, what's this got to do with God's mission? Well, mission is actually like doing a really, really large jigsaw puzzle. And there might be some pieces that look more obvious, such as the people in white with the green stole down the front. People like me who work for a mission agency, and I was a former missionary. But also, we need all those other bits of the puzzle. Because what's a puzzle if it's just edges and corners? Or what's a puzzle if it's just a big red bit? We need all of the pieces of the puzzle together. Where am I pointing? Here we go. So, ABM is itself a puzzle. Sorry, I'll just go back one. ABM itself is a bit of a puzzle. We have the Anglican Board of Mission, which has been around for almost 175 years, and we have Anglicans in Development, which the organisation has been around for 2.5 years. AID is like the daughter of ABM and is responsible for all of our tax-deductible sustainable communities programs. ABM is still the same old ABM that it's been for 175 years and is responsible for all of the other work. Just to make it simple, I will say ABM from here on in, and I'll mean sort of both entities together. But within ABM and AID, we have our church-to-church program, which supports Newton Theological College, which you have supported as a parish, but also a theological college in Zambia. It also supports all of the work that we do in Australia under our reconciliation program. Sorry, these are not coming up in the right order. That's my fault, not Kevin's. There we go. There's the reconciliation program. But our reconciliation program also supports two theological colleges in Australia which are tax deductible. If you want to talk to me about Australian tax laws and what is and isn't tax deductible, we'll do it afterwards. But under our reconciliation program, we also support those two colleges. And then we have our sustainable communities program that works overseas and works with communities, like the title suggests, to be sustainable. Now, in some communities, that's helping them with water and sanitation. In some communities, it's helping them with adult literacy. In some, it's helping them to overcome domestic violence. And then we have our emergency program. That's another piece of the ABM AID puzzle. And this is, as emergencies arise, we respond to the needs of our partners. So they're our bits. Then we have the puzzle that we're actually doing. Mission is finding out what God is doing and joining in. This is the puzzle we are working on. We are all pieces in this wonderful puzzle of what God himself is doing. And we are just joining in. We are putting our pieces down. And I've just realised this is actually not the presentation I sent you, Kevin, but that's all right. I will keep going with this presentation, unless I left that slide in by accident, but we'll see. So ABM exists to see... ABM believes in a world where people enjoy God's promise of love, hope and justice, and we work to see that belief become a reality. So God's love, hope and justice available to all people. That's life in all its fullness. That is the promise that we have been given. And Jesus himself tells us in John 10:10, I've come that all may have life in all of its fullness. Now, how do we know that we're doing that? What are our marks? What are the things that we know if we see these things happening that we're actually on the right track? And they are our five marks of mission, the first of which is witnessing to Christ's saving, forgiving and reconciling love for all people. That first mark of mission is the ultimate aim of the other four marks of mission as well. Now, those of you who have heard all of my four talks over the last few years, I hope you should be starting to have these ingrained on the back of your retinas as the five ways in which we know we are participating in God's mission. Because we're also building, welcoming and transforming communities of faith. Not just among our partners overseas, but ABM also believes that we are called to resource your community of faith, to help you build a welcoming and transforming community of faith here in Australia. We do stand in solidarity with the poor and needy. Overseas and in Australia, our partners work where there is the greatest need. They don't go where it's easy. They go often where there are no government services, where there are communities who have been suffering from trauma, where there are problems. And that's where our partners go because that is where the need is greatest, and we go with them. We also challenge violence, injustice and oppression and work for peace and reconciliation. And finally, we do protect, care for and renew life on our planet. These are our partner countries, and thankfully, since last year, they have not changed. We are still working in Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, Papua New Guinea, in Australia, the Philippines, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, the Holy Land, Kenya and Zambia. Now, they're just some of the pieces of the puzzle, but there's one very important piece that I haven't mentioned yet. Can anyone tell me what piece of that puzzle is? Kevin knows because he's seen the next slide. Who's missing? Who have I not mentioned? What is that last piece of the puzzle that is yet to be put down? You! That's right. It is indeed you. You are as much a piece of this puzzle as I am, as the director of the program, the partner that we work with in Zambia, as much as the Reverend Dr. John Dean, our executive director, as much as the staff on the ground at Newton Theological College in PNG teaching the students, as much as the students are, we're all part of that mission puzzle. And so I'm here to say thank you. Thank you for all the work that this parish has done over many years. Thank you for inviting me back. And thank you for, I know, what will be your ongoing support. Now, hopefully, the next few slides of thank yous will be the same as this year's, because I think you've supported the same couple of projects over the last few years. Yes, it is. Excellent. Gloria Ship. Now, Gloria, I actually have printed here the full report that she sent to us. We only put a portion of it on our website, partly because we can't share all of these photos publicly because we don't have their permission. But I'm allowed to print it off and give it to you to look at yourself as long as it's not published. Okay? So we don't have permission from all of the people in these photos to publish their photos. So, but this is Gloria's report, and in it, I think there's lots of fabulous things that Gloria has done this last year, but I think one of the most exciting things is that she's actually baptised 8 children in the last 12 months in Warren, Ningen and in Dubbo. Actually, she baptised children in a period of 3 months, 8 children in just 3 months. She's also conducted a wedding. She has continued to serve the elders group both in Dubbo and also a new one in Ningen. She has been honoured as the first inaugural First Nations role model by the parish of Manuka in Canberra, so recognised for her work with Indigenous ministry. She has continued to help NATSIAC to continue to lead Indigenous ministry in Australia and also to be an advocate for it. I think most of you, or hopefully you would have heard, received from us a call for prayer for her towards the end of last year when she was in hospital. She was released from hospital after a week and she's back into good health, but she's trying to take it slow, she said. And we all know what slow for Gloria means. It's probably she'll only baptise 6 children in 3 months, not 7. So I will let you read this, if it can be left somewhere in the parish for people to have a look at, and you can read all of that. But she certainly has some fabulous plans for the coming year. And all of that is made possible by parishes such as you for helping to pay for things like her petrol so that she can drive from Ningen to Dubbo every week. So that she can print the orders of service for the services she takes every month in the communities that she's a part of. Because she's the only presence, she's the only minister for those communities. And so it really is your support that is enabling her to keep going, and your prayers as well. And that's a photo from a baptism last year, so she's continued to do even more. And last year you supported, the previous year you supported St John's Theological College. Last year you supported Newton Theological College in Papua New Guinea. I'll actually see if that's... anyway, so just pretend this is not Adamson from Zambia, but pretend it's Barox from PNG. So in November last year, Newton Theological College graduated 8 theological students, and 7 of them had wives, and so they also graduated from the wives program at Newton College. And that was actually the last ever graduation of Newton Theological College, because as of the end of November, Newton was renamed the Bishop Newton School of Theology, and it's now a part of the Madawa Institute of Higher Education. So the Anglican Church in PNG is being very ambitious and established this Madawa Institute for Higher Education, which will cover the Bishop Newton School of Theology. It'll cover St Barnabas Community Health Worker School at Dugura, and it will also cover a to-be-created teachers' college. And so the church is wanting to re-establish these institutes, to retrain Anglicans for these areas of ministry, and also to then feed back into the Anglican health and education services. So your prayers for Newton are still needed, your funds for Newton are still needed, but if I could also ask you to pray for that larger institute, the Madawa Institute for Higher Education, because there is a lot of work that is needed. They're looking for a director of the institute, and then obviously recruiting students and actually building a teacher's college as well. So that is what's happening in PNG. And all those 7 students that graduated have now all been ordained deacons in their home diocese, and they began their service with Christmas. So their first services as deacons were at Christmas, and they will be ordained priest over the next 6 to 12 months, and then they'll be out in rural ministry. And most of them will not actually serve a proper curacy, because there is actually such a demand for parishes, in parishes for priests, because believe it or not, PNG are actually creating new parishes, because there are more and more people coming back to the church, seeking the direction that Christ offers us, and so there are new parishes coming. So it is really quite exciting. Mm. So pray for those new deacons who very soon will actually be in full parish ministry. Now, this next thank you is a special one for this parish, because your parish council also decides to contribute some of your donation to the general work of ABM. So that's Untied, essentially, if that's what some people may know it as. Now, this money can really go anywhere. It could go to top up a project that hasn't met its fundraising need and we need to send money to the partner. It may go to help support the development of our latest Lenten appeal, Lenten resource, God's Own Country, to resource you guys for mission. Or it may be used just to help us meet the governance and audit necessities of the Australian government, because we receive money from DFAT and they have very, very high standards. If you've ever had to receive an account for government money, you may understand some of the hoops we have to go through. But what it means is that you are essentially keeping us roadworthy. You're keeping us strong and flexible to respond to the changing needs of our partners. You're keeping us accountable, and you're ensuring that we are able to deliver those projects in the most efficient and effective manner possible. I'm sure you've all can imagine a truck that is broken down on the side of a road with really important cargo on its back that ain't going anywhere. We don't want to be that truck broken down on the side of the road, and you help to keep us roadworthy so that when we do deliver those projects, we are doing it as effectively and efficiently as possible. And that's really critical. As great as it is to support projects, and I love that you take a really keen interest, say, in Gloria, without this very special allocation of money that you give to us, we wouldn't actually be able to deliver that project with Gloria because we ourselves would be broken down on the side of a road. So thank you for that. It is really very special. You are a role model for other parishes in this country, and I would like to commend your parish council for that. So we have lots of different pieces of the puzzle, and you have some of those as well. So we have Gloria, we have the students, and we have you. But what are your pieces of the puzzle? What is it that you are holding in your hands? And I'm keeping an eye on the time too. I've got 5 minutes. What are the pieces of the puzzle you're holding in your hands? So the clock's really good, actually. You can pray. First and foremost, you can pray. We have a monthly prayer diary that you can use. We also have weekly pew reflections that can go into your pew sheet that help you to pray, think and act missionally. You can then also learn. You can study. This was last year's Lenten study. We have God's Own Country, which is actually a journey through the first 7 days of creation, written by 7 different Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander theologians or lay people. It's a unique book. I don't believe anyone has ever done anything quite like it. It is not a comfortable, easy, I'm going to have a nice, gentle Lent. They're challenging. They actually make you sit up and think, oh, that smarted a little bit, but why did it smart? And so I encourage you, they're still available for purchase, and there's also a PDF available if you'd rather not have a physical book but want to look at it on a device. And they're available for purchase. Or you can purchase last year's The Imaginary Doorway, which was is a wonderful reimagining of the gospel, of 7 gospel stories from the perspective of someone within the story. This is one of the things you actually help us do. Again, by giving those general funds that you may think, oh, it's not a lot, you actually help us to create these resources so that we can then give back to the church as a whole. You can also support a project. This is last year's project book. We have this year's out on the table. And I do encourage you to consider the projects that you'll be supporting this year. And I know not everyone can give financially, so there are other ways in which you can support ABM as well. Now, I know this parish collects stamps. How many of you faithfully tear off your stamps from letters that you get and bring them into the congregation? Excellent! Last year, ABM received $15,000 from the sale of stamps. That's not small money. That's one of our entire projects paid for out of stamp money. So keep tearing your stamps off. If you have a local business and you see that they're just throwing out envelopes with stamps on, say to them, can I collect those stamps? Do you need those? Bring in more and more stamps. If you have stamp albums or stamp collections and don't know what to do with them, consider giving them to ABM and we will take care of them and we will ensure that we get the best price possible for God's mission. Some of you may not have stamps, but I'm sure some of you can make palm crosses. Some of you? We're having a palm cross working bee on the 24th of February at St Andrew's, Walkerville. I'm hoping that news of that might come out in a bishop's letter soon, Mary, if that can be circulated. We're making palm crosses to raise money for our Easter appeal. And we're selling them to parishes. That's how we're making the money. Some of you may have other skills that you are able to give as your piece of the puzzle in God's mission. And there is also a final piece of that puzzle of how you can give. We all have to be responsible for our families and make sure we take care of them when it is our turn to be called home. My husband and I, we have our 7.5-year-old, and when she was born, we made a will. Now, we made sure she was looked after, as were our nieces and nephews, but we also both wanted to make a statement, both while we were alive, but also to our families when we passed on, that this was something we were passionate about. And so you probably aren't surprised. I've left a gift in my will to ABM, and he has left a gift in his will to a charity of his choice. And this is a final way in which we are able to both witness to our passion for God's mission and also to ensure that God's mission is able to continue when we are called into our eternal home. So if you haven't yet got a will, I encourage you, for the sake of your family, it's a really good idea to have one. I'm guessing in this room most of you would have a will, but also to perhaps consider leaving a gift to ABM in your will so that the work that you are supporting today in this life will be able to continue. So, which piece of the puzzle are you holding? And please, don't be that missing piece. Thank you.